Hey, and welcome back to Builder Funnel Radio. I recently sat down with Tom Reber over at the Contractor Fight in his new studio setup here in Colorado Springs. And we sat down for a long conversation about marketing. And so here is part one of that conversation.
I am also tend to be a little scrappier, so I would do things like door hangers, and I would either just do it myself and I'd just go, or I'd send a runner, you know, a college kid or somebody.
I used to send my kids. So, yeah. I would drive in my truck and my kids would be on each side. They were like little. Nobody turned the kids away.
Yeah, who's going to say, yeah, exactly.
Spencer Powell of Builder Funnel is in the house. Y'all need to get, he's over there. I'm looking at this camera. He's looking at that camera. We have a third camera there. Okay. We're just trying shit.
Why not?
You live local here in Colorado Springs, so I said, get your butt in here. How you doing, man?
Good. And I like the new pad.
It's coming along. Yeah. It's coming along. Let's just get this out of the way. Yeah. There's a bunch of keyboard warriors that are going to bitch about the fact that I just painted over fire tape here.
Look at that. Yeah.
You know, I've already gotten some hate mail from it. We were laughing about it before. Yeah. You were a painting contractor and you allowed that. And it, guys, it's a warehouse. It is a warehouse, upper level of a warehouse. It's a temporary spot. And I don't care. I don't care. So there you go. Save your, your criticism. Anyway. Anyway, I'm not going to take the bait on that right now. I just got that out of the way. That one's really kind of bugging me, though. But anyway, it does bother me to a degree, but it didn't bother me enough.
Yeah.
Because I hate doing finished drywall work. And we had a deadline. And you know how hard it is to find a fucking contractor to call you back? So, dude.
How hard is it, Tom?
Let me tell you. I actually had a couple guys. There's a guy, I think, up in, where was it? I can't remember. Utah or something. He's like, I'll come over there and I'll do it for free if you coach me. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I got to move shit now and cover things. And then there's a mess and there you go. But whatever. Who is Spencer?
That's a good question.
Who are you?
Yeah.
What do we got?
Just a dude, you know, just another guy. Yeah. I guess fell into marketing, you know, close to 14 years ago.
Yep.
Got out of school, just was fascinated by the idea that you could use social media for business. And that was kind of when it was a new concept, right? Because Facebook had come out. When I was in college, it was just for college students. So that was like my era.
Yeah.
And then I think when I got out, it was public. But then there were those Facebook business pages popping up. And I was like, I wonder if a business could use social media.
Yeah.
So that's really what started my journey. But yeah, fast forward to today, we got about 26 full time. We only work with residential construction companies.
Yep.
And we start with strategy and we can help you execute if you want, or we can give you the strategy and you can go execute internally.
Right. Didn't you help your dad's company? Isn't that part of the story?
Yeah. So two different companies, actually. So one side of the coin, my family out in Seattle had a long time construction business. So I think it was my great-grandfather. He would basically build homes and then he would take the cash from those and then he'd build an apartment building. And then he'd go build more homes and then he'd go build another apartment building. And he did that. And then my grandfather got involved and they just kind of kept that cycle going.
Wow.
Then my dad and uncles got involved. And so at one point they had a property management business. Underneath that, several apartment buildings, couple retirement communities. They had the custom home division, remodeling division, handyman division. And so I got involved really scaling up the custom home and remodeling divisions. And so I think there were about 2 million at the time. I said, hey, let me do your Facebook, your Twitter, your blogs. Like, let me figure this out. That was kind of where I started to get interested in that. And then over the next 4 years, we went to 10 million.
Wow.
And
wow.
We were kind of, I was starting to like beg people to let me help them because nobody thought at the time, I just don't think somebody goes to Google and then does a $300,000 remodel, you know?
Right.
And I was like, they do. I promise they do. But everyone just thought, no, I think that's mostly word of mouth. I think people, you know, they're, so it was slow going for a long time, you know, because it was those high ticket projects, and remodelers just didn't think that digital marketing would work. But that was really where I got started.
Well, there were a lot of guys that for 15 years, 20 years, didn't even have a website.
Yeah.
They're like, why do you need one of those, right? So, because I think I found you when I moved to the Springs in 2015. I end up online and something that you had, I don't remember the site, might have been your.
That's the other business, yeah. So
was that the direct mail you
direct
were doing
mail.
Or
yeah.
something? And I saw that somehow you were like a Marcus Sheridan fan with creating content, inbound marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus is a good buddy of mine. And for years he's spoken at our events and things like that. And he might be coming back to Mile High this year to do something different. So anyway,
cool.
And so I just remember seeing like, all right, this guy's in that world. And I think I drove over there.
Mm-hmm.
I think didn't I just drive over?
Yeah, like, I remember. Hey. I remember where we sat. Yeah,
I don't even remember what I said or what I'm like, I don't even know. Do you remember? I don't remember.
I'll tell you what I remember. It's not a lot, but yeah. So kind of to morph into that other business and then tie it into where you walked in the door. Basically, when I was helping my uncles, my dad had already moved out of that business and bought his father-in-law's direct mail business. So that's why we moved from Seattle to Colorado Springs.
All right.
It was called the Mailroom Incorporated.
Hmm.
And then he basically came back from a direct mail conference and they're like, hey, direct mail is going off a cliff. You need to get into digital.
Yeah.
So he came back, he rebranded within 30 days and said, we're figuring out this digital. He saw what I was doing. He's like, do you want to just come figure that out over here instead of doing your own thing?
Yeah.
So I said, sure, that sounds great. Because I never was interested in direct mail.
Right.
And so that's where we started. And so we started serving. And so we had the TMR Direct brand.
TMR, that's what it was called.
Yes, which was the mailroom. Super creative. And then we created Builder Funnel as a division within that company because we realized that, first of all the direct mail customers didn't think we knew digital.
Right.
So I started to learn a lot about brand then too because they had only done direct mail with the Mailroom Inc. for years and years and years. And then we said, oh, we can help you with your email and your landing pages and tie it into direct mail. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So we had to go after a totally new market into digital. And that's why we went down custom homes, remodeling, residential construction. So anyway, we started doing that. We were probably creating a lot of content, see the brand. And then you walked in. And you're like, hey, I've got this, you know, coaching group and I'm teaching contractors and I'm trying to like, you know, get more exposure online, or you know, I think you're just sharing what you were doing. And I think at the time it was like, that sounds cool, but we are helping the guys that you're helping. So I didn't know that we had the confidence that we like it wasn't in our niche. It was in the same industry, but we weren't helping coaches and groups also find you know, more contractors. So that's what I remember.
And I was maybe a year into the podcast at that point, and I think we had a YouTube channel, but we didn't really put anything up because it wasn't until like the end of 2016 that my son Dakota was like, Dad, I'll be your video guy. He was the first video guy. And those videos are comical because neither one of us knew what we were doing, but he got me going.
And I had some ugly ones too.
And he, you know, it's funny. A lot of those early videos, he just did the best he knew with editing and it popped. You know, and so it's just funny. And then we kept in touch. Man, I hear so many good things about you. I know you were at Mile High last year, and I've talked to a few people that have just reached out to me, and they've been like, this guy knows his shit. And I know you know your shit. And what I love about you when it comes to marketing, I think the DNA we share is we play the long game with it.
Yeah.
And so I got a few talking points here.
Sweet.
The first is, how do you define the following? You can do them in any order. Marketing, brand, and advertising. Let's start with that.
Marketing, brand, and advertising. Well, let's start with brand.
Okay.
I'm not a branding expert. I'll preface it with that. But everything that I've come to experience and learn about brand is recognition and association. So like those two things. So kind of like I said with the Mailroom Incorporated, and then my dad rebranded to TMR Direct, which was like, we're a integrated solution, like marketing solutions, which was digital and direct mail. That was the purpose of the rebrand. But all of those customers of the Mailroom Incorporated didn't see us as that new thing,
right?
Because they associated, even though we said we're TMR Direct, they still associated us with what they knew, which mm-hmm. was direct mail. So they saw us the same. So if you think about that, a lot of times contractors, remodelers, they think about rebranding and they go, oh, mm-hmm. we need to rebrand.
Yeah.
But really what they're saying is we need to start the process of people associating us as something new. But we think it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
It's not. I think it can be a little more instantaneous for new people mm-hmm. coming in. Like a lot of remodelers, they go from, you know, ABC remodeling to ABC design build.
Right.
That's a very common one. They want to move to that design build.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go from remodeling to design build, anyone that's new and they only see design build, great. They're going to associate maybe something a little bit different. But all that past branding you did,
yeah,
that's where the heavy lifting is really going to come in. And that's why you see companies like Nike or Apple make these very small changes to logos and all that over long periods of
yeah.
time, like years decades. Or decades.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go look at it. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. You look at the Apple stuff. A lot of times it says Apple. And then over time, that the wording gets removed because enough they get big enough
yeah.
that they can do that. But so branding is recognition, but also that association piece of like how, when they see that, what do they think of you as?
So that's where I was going. So brand to you is more what they think of us. When
right.
they see my name, my company, our logo, whatever, there's a thought.
Yes.
Now, a lot of guys, their customers don't think anything.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
you can not have a, I mean.
Your brand is just some
your,
dude.
Your brand
yeah.
is some
or
guy.
Some company that
right?
helped me. Yeah.
And brand is not just a logo. That's an identity. I think a lot of people think. Now, and
well,
I can see the confusion.
Associate.
I think,
yeah.
yeah. Because like the word brand back in the day was like branding a cow.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
this is the Reber Ranch cow.
Yep.
And so.
But why did that matter? It was probably what they knew about Reber and his ranch and what that means if it's your cow.
Yeah.
Right. So it's yeah. like the meaning behind the logo or the brand is the signal, but that means something. And so it's
yeah.
it's that connection.
Better not steal that cow, that Reber guy will kill your ass.
exactly.
Right. You
but
know,
that,
or
if they associate
Jones,
with that,
here's
like,
the Jones
I'm
ranch. Oh, they never do anything when we steal their cows. Right.
Totally. So yeah. And those would be the brands.
That's the story.
Yeah.
That's the brand. All right.
Yeah.
So what's next? Marketing or advertising?
Gosh. Let's go advertising.
Okay.
So now you have the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need more people to know the brand.
Okay.
So now we're going to advertise. So.
So like the tactical things.
That could be, yeah. Okay. We think that if we put an ad on Facebook and spend $5,000 and more people see our ad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we've got more visibility. So more people know or have seen our brand and our logo or
right.
our ad or our trucks.
Yeah.
You know, we have those branded now. They're driving around. More people see that. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
now just more people know.
More people know.
And obviously advertising can be a lot of different things. TV, radio, podcasts, YouTube, like all
yeah.
of those things. But it's basically like, how do we have more people see our brand?
There you go. And marketing.
And then marketing, I would say, is how do we take that step further from advertising to actually getting somebody to engage
mm-hmm.
or like, you know, fill out a form, generate a lead. You know, how do we move it from just, I've seen your truck to I called or I visit your website and I sign up for a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I take some sort of action off the advertising.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there now. I'm going to go there later.
But I almost see,
later,
I mean,
so.
Yeah, marketing and advertising, I feel like are very similar when you think. It feels like there's overlap depending on how
yeah.
you want to define it. Because you could call marketing putting your logo on your truck and
right.
doing a podcast. And, you know, so if we wanted to really try to divide those three, I would say, you know, the marketing piece, like, let's start trying to get into lead gen a little
there
bit.
There you go. Cool. So you work with all these remodelers, construction companies, builders, this and that. There are people right now at the time of this recording that don't have any leads. How come?
They're probably not marketing.
I mean, I know that's a super open-ended question.
Yeah.
But like, you see this, you hear this all the time. I'm sure you get DMs and emails from people like, I mean, I one of our groups the other day, there was this guy who posted, I started my business 3 years ago and I haven't had a lead in 9 weeks.
Ooh, yikes.
You know?
Yeah.
So like, how does somebody get to the point where they don't have leads?
Yeah, well, let's break it down, I guess. So my first thought is if you don't have leads, you're probably doing no marketing advertising mm-hmm. or very little. Because if you're not doing any, then that means your only form of lead gen is going to be probably word of mouth, referral, past mm-hmm. customers coming back. And so if you don't have a big enough pool there, or you don't do a good enough job that people are just raving about you all the time, then that lead flow is going to be not as predictable and mm-hmm. it's just going to be lower, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have 50 past clients over the last 3 years. You know, they maybe tell, you know, half of them maybe have told one person, but like yeah. the flow of that is going to be really slow. Right. So I would say you either don't have marketing and advertising going on. So it's just coming from that. And so you're experiencing just like very low predictability and low volume. The next bucket would be you are marketing and advertising of some sort, but you're not doing enough of it, or you're not doing the right things.
Yeah.
It can really only right. fall into one of those two buckets. And so if you're listening to this now and you know, well, I'm spending $10,000 a year on marketing, there's a good chance that's probably not enough. Mm-hmm. If you're like, I'm spending $100,000 on marketing, but I haven't had a lead in 9 weeks, I'd be like, what are you spending on? It's probably the
wrong
thing.
I just had
things.
A conversation with somebody who spent well over six figures last year in marketing and it didn't do shit.
Ouch.
Yeah. And this is not, this is somebody who's like knows what they're doing across building brand, like crazy. If I told you who it was, okay, you'd be surprised. And
yeah.
so, and I recently had a conversation like, dude, this is blowing my mind that you invested that much. And it wasn't just like he spent $100,000 on the golf cart ads, right?
Yeah.
You know,
one big campaign or something. Yeah.
I mean, it was creating content. There was SEO. There were all these different things going on. So could it also be a location someone's in? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I wasn't going to bring this up till later, but like, is it that the messages that are going on aren't speaking to the ideal buyer? Like, is, you know, what's that? Because there are some people that are pretty aggressive and they don't have the results.
Yeah. Well, let's use this example. We don't have to say who it is if you don't mind, mm-hmm. but they spent well over six figures and you said they were doing a bunch of different things. It wasn't just like one little like branding campaign. It was like SEO, maybe some paid ads or
yeah. Let's say the 50% of it was SEO, and they are not like an emergency services like HVAC.
Yeah.
They're, you know, in
bigger projects,
bigger project remodeling,
wants based. Yeah, not needs based.
Wants based. There you go.
And they didn't get any leads at all, or they didn't get any sales.
They got very few leads, and the leads they got were shit. Like truly.
Yeah, not good.
And this is a company that educates through content.
Yeah.
They talk pricing. Like, dude, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So
not knowing much else, the first places that I would kind of dig into are who, like where those channels were going. So SEO, mm-hmm. you typically think of, okay, if it's a wants base, it's probably like kitchen remodels, additions, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. Were they actually addressing the right keywords and pain points and then areas.
Yep.
You mentioned area, and I only say that as it pertains to SEO. If you try to rank for kitchen remodeling, but you ignore locale and you are in Colorado Springs, Colorado, mm-hmm. you are now trying to rank against the entire country. And so mm-hmm. if you're not targeting kitchen remodeling in Colorado Springs, you might have actually moved up from an SEO perspective from page 20 all the way to page 4.
Yeah.
But page 4 gets you zero views.
Right.
So you might have actually made progress, but then it wouldn't result in
any. Page 2 is
any...
where businesses go to die, right?
Yeah, exactly. And 4, they're really dead. Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of I've ever clicked beyond page 1 on search results.
Yeah.
So
and if you have, you definitely haven't gotten to page 3. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, where am I
on page 7? Yeah.
Where am I?
So, but it generally it's the right location. Mm-hmm. And then if you're targeting the right people in the right spot, then messaging would be the next, because you're saying like, hey, I'm in front of the right people. I'm advertising in front of the right audience, but whatever I'm saying is not resonating with them. And for wants-based things, there is going to be a little bit longer of that time horizon, right? Somebody thinking about that kitchen might think about it for a year. And so I don't want to go too far, because then we start talking about the whole funnel.
But that's where this long game stuff comes in, right? Like it's, and this guy's not panicking or anything. Like, he gets it, but it's frustrating because, you know, you invest a lot. And I've been there as well. I mean, I created content here for the fight for probably 3 years before anyone ever gave a shit.
I get it.
I know you get it. And we've had this conversation. So it could be a lot of things. You're not speaking to the right person. You're in the wrong channels. One of the questions I get all the time is, how do I know where my ideal clients are hanging out, right? Online or whatever. And it's not just online. There's other places they hang out. So how do you answer that?
Yeah.
You know?
I guess I would start with, I mean, easy example is, you know, let's start with the ideal client. So here in Colorado Springs, there's like a high-end neighborhood called the Broadmoor.
Right.
Right. So if you do those higher-end projects and you go, oh, okay, my clients make north of 200 or north of 250 or whatever it is. They live in a house worth at least $1 million, between one and four, whatever the parameters are. You go, well, what are those neighborhoods in my town? You know, that's the easiest way to start. Is like, what are the zip codes, right? There's probably like,
where do the people one, with two, money three, live, four.
Yeah.
Right? Just start with that.
Yeah. And if high end isn't your market and you're like, I kind of hit the middle market, there are zip codes for that. Oh, I kind of serve the low end of the market. There are zip codes for that. Like, you know the zip codes in your town. And the middle is going to have way more zip codes. So then I go, well, if you could choose, which you can choose your marketing, maybe choose the middle end zip codes that are close to your location, so you don't have to drive as far. You know, so we can get into that. But let's use the high end, right? So, okay, at the Broadmoor, there's like 10,000 homes in the Broadmoor. Like, do we think we could build a nice business on 10,000 homes?
Probably,
especially if it's high end.
Yeah.
You know, kitchen remodels, kitchen plus, whole first floor additions. Like, we're probably looking at 200,000 to 500,000 for a project size.
And how many you really need a year, right?
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
You need 30 projects. You can build a $7.5 million business.
By the way, guys, listen to this. This, what he's about to say is gold. Pay attention to this part. Seriously. I know, because I know you enough to know where you're going, but like, you don't need everybody. Right? You don't need all 10,000. Yeah. I mean, what's 10% of 10,000 is 1,000, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah. And multiply that by 100,000 as an average project size.
Yeah. But even if you got 5%, that'd be 500 people. If 500 people in the Broadmoor knew about my painting company, right?
Yeah.
And 300 called me out of the 10,000. You know, based on how you play the long game, create content and help your clients, you're going to be closing most of those deals before you ever go out there.
100%.
So I say all that to say, all right, here we go. So, all right.
But I mean, where you were going is exactly what it is, because you're just trying to narrow your pool. Because I think a lot of times we think I have no customers, or I need way more customers. And so you think, oh, I'll just go broad, but you could just burn money on that. So again, I think about 100K, like, you could blow 100K easy,
right?
And going too broad. But if you spend $100,000 saying, I've got 10,000 homes that I want to know about me, or even 5,000 or 1,000 of those, I'm going to hit those 1,000 of those homes every month with direct mail. And I'm going to, in terms of my targeting online, I'm going to target Google ads, those zip codes, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, those zip codes. And I'm just going to only focus.
I'm going to whole ass these homes this year.
And the best part about that is something that really clicked with me recently is, I think a lot of this industry prides themselves on referrals and growing their business on referrals. I love referrals. They're often the best type of customer, and they close at the highest rate because they already have trust built in. You know, you vouch for this company. And so I say, great, I trust Tom, Tom trusts them, I trust them.
Yeah.
It's just there. With marketing, we have no trust. We have to build it. And that's part of what we build over time.
Yeah.
But the thing is, your company evolves. And so if you used to do $2,000 painting projects, and now you do $20,000 painting projects, if you're still getting referrals from a certain type of customer you started with, referrals start to really hurt your business because they're all referring you $2,000 projects, similar types of homes, similar types of projects.
Right.
Maybe you don't do interior and now you've shifted to exterior, but you keep getting referred this. Marketing can allow you to choose to target this. Mm-hmm. And if these projects are in the Broadmoor area and these 10,000 homes, you start to market there and you get a customer, two customers, five. Now they start referring you to their friends in their area. And now the referrals start to work for you again. And then you may evolve again. So marketing gives you more control.
Yeah.
Referrals are great.
Yeah.
But again, depending on the evolution of your business, they actually might be weighing you down.
That's a great point. Because the other thing is when you are in the Broadmoor neighborhood and your truck is sitting out front, and by God, I hope you have it wrapped. Okay. Now, everyone that lives there, you're there for a week or how many days you're there. Every time somebody drives by, walks their dog, they're just seeing it, even if they're not looking for it. And then next month, you're in the neighborhood again, and the next, and it compounds. That happened with us in our painting business outside of Chicago. There were a couple of neighborhoods like that where, I mean, if we did 300 jobs a year on average, 75 were in this one neighborhood.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And they're probably your better jobs.
Right. Right? They were just slam dunks. So,
and you're like, what if we could just double those and do half the jobs, but in our perfect wheelhouse?
All right. So you're a young business owner. Say you're a remodeler. I don't care what you do. All right. Really have done no marketing. You've got word of mouth going. You're listening to this. You have a neighborhood like the Broadmoor. What's the first thing you do personally?
Personally, yeah. If it were me, I would start digital because you can start faster and cheaper probably than if I were to say I want to blanket this with direct mail or something like that. I am also tend to be a little scrappier, so I would do things like door hangers, and I would either just do it myself and I'd just go, or I'd send a runner, you know, a college kid or somebody.
I used to send my kids. So, yeah. I would drive in my truck and my kids would be on each side. They were like little. Nobody turned the kids away.
Yeah, who's going to say? Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I think we forget about those kind of things, right? Because we do, as an owner, want to put ourselves in those, like, what are those $1,000 activities, you know, $10,000 an hour activities. But honestly, if you need customers, that's your highest priority. And if you don't have money, you have time. So you go use the time.
So you'd start with digital.
But
what
start
part
with
of
digital?
Digital?
Yeah. I would make sure I had a really good site. And the reason I say that is, like, kind of any channel you use, they're going to get back to the site.
Right.
Even if you just, I meet somebody at a party, like, hey, I've started up this brand new business. You give them a business card, or you just tell them, go check out my site.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going to direct them, right? They all go to the site. That becomes the foundation of everything.
And this is such a it depends question. I understand that. I will see people bitch and gripe about, I've never spent $10,000-$15,000 on a website, right? Those people, I would even challenge whether they're serious about growing their business, right? But, like, how do you know? Do you have a rule of thumb of what somebody should spend? Is it based on, like, their average job size, right? Because, like, if my average job size is 50 grand, and somebody said to me years ago that if you're trying to sell, because all the contractors are like, I'm high end, right? Everyone's high end.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just say you're truly high end. You're doing great work. Your paint job is immaculate. Your landscaping's awesome. And it's a $50,000 or more dollar type project. Now you're in the category of, like, a BMW or a Mercedes. So your website should kind of look like that.
Has to.
Do you know what I'm saying? Do you have a rule of thumb for what somebody should spend on a website? And how do you?
I don't know if I do, but I will give you how I think about it. I mean, if I'm literally starting my business, I'm probably not going to spend 15 grand on my website. Now, for context, my agency, we sell websites and they probably mostly land between 15 and 30.
Right.
But if I'm just starting my business, I probably wouldn't advise that person to build that one out of the gates if they have limited resources, limited dollars, because those dollars need to go into a lot of places. I would say go spin up a WordPress site on Fiverr or some other site that's not going to be your end-all be-all site.
Right.
But what you said is still possible. What we need to have happen is we need the site to be up and we need high-end photography.
Yeah.
Spend the photography has to match the projects you do, right?
What if like I don't have pictures of the work I've done?
It's tough. It's really tough. I mean, you can go use stock.
Stock for a time period.
And you can just say, hey, this is an inspiration gallery. And you know, you can, you want to be truthful about it. But you at least need to show somebody what the type of work you do. And so even if you have an inspiration gallery, it's like, these are the types of projects we do. These are the types of kitchens. You don't have to say, we did these kitchens. But you have to say, these are the types of projects we
and
do.
And be honest about it. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
You just have to. But that's what matters the most, I would say, at the very beginning. Because then I would want more of those dollars to go into ads and driving traffic too. Because if you burn 15 on the site, but then you have no dollars for ads, nobody's going to see it. And so I would much prefer they do the site right. They have SEO baked in. They have conversion baked in. Like, that's a lot of the stuff that comes with a high performance, higher end site.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, you want a site that matches the types of projects and the people you serve. Mm-hmm. And if you can get that done for 500 or 1,000 bucks and it gets you off the ground and then you can spend 14 grand on ads.
Right.
I'd rather do that at the beginning.
Our first website, my painting company years ago, was not a very nice website. It was a white screen.
Nice.
With the logo and, you know, it had contact us. I mean, it was like, this is like early 2000s.
We're in business. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of bad things happen after 10 p.m. at night when you're a business owner and you're online. And one of those bad things that happened is I started running Google ads on my own.
Nice. I'm sure it went perfect.
And I dropped like 4,500 bucks in like 2 weeks. Had no leads, no sales, nothing to show for it. And a buddy of mine, he goes, dude, you were driving traffic to the ghetto. I'll never forget that. And so the opposite of what you're saying, right? Like you can, a lot of people are spending money on ads and SEO and whatever they are, and they're driving people to the wrong neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who, like you just said, you could spend 15, 20, 30 grand on a site, but if you're not doing anything to drive people to the right neighborhood, so both can be true if 100%. You're not succeeding online. So,
and to your point, it depends, right? Yeah. But if you're at the beginning, I'd rather get the site good enough that it matches, and then most of those dollars need to go in driving. Yeah.
So, God, I have all these things that
Let's
I want
to
get into, man.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some of your clients. I have a question that I'll ask after this one about your clients. What are some of the like things that if you've been working with people for a long time, and if you're anything like what we do in the fight, every now and then it's not everybody, but every now and then there's like a handful of people that just have a crazy result and it blows your mind. Like, what comes to mind when I share that?
Yeah.
You know, for you and the people you've helped. What are some of those?
Company down in Atlanta, they were spending north of $2,000 a month on Google ads. It's not a crazy amount, but that was their predominant digital strategy. Mm-hmm. Their SEO was in the gutter. And they were about $2.5 million at the time. And they really wanted to grow SEO. And so we started going after certain terms. We started creating blog content, building out some of their core website pages, some project spotlight pages, trying to rank for some of these. Mm-hmm. That worked really well in terms of moving them up in the rankings. I think part of the reason they had like extra, you know, results was it was a big market. And I think we beat people in the SEO game before the remodeling industry caught on in a big way. And then all of a sudden, that city surged. There was tons of projects going on, and boom, we were right there at the top for a lot of those things.
You were there for the land grab before everybody else.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. But the other thing that was the duality to that was when we first stumbled into our best lead conversion campaign. It's still our best one. I think this was 6 or 7 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's the cost guide. And we did that first there. And it converted so many leads. And then that became one of our anchor pieces. That's like the first thing we recommend with any of our new clients, and we install that. But I think it was kind of that combination. But the funny thing, as you asked that question, the funny thing I was thinking about was we're marketers. Mm-hmm. And so we can increase that throughput on the front end.
Yeah.
But you have to have a good operator on the back end that can scale that team. They went from 2.5 to 7.5, almost 8 million over, I think 5 or 6 years or so.
Okay.
A lot of people can't do that. Even just right, on the like delivery.
What's your capacity?
Right.
Like what's your production capacity? And do you have the processes in place? So kudos to them. Kudos to you. A few people, their ears just perked up when you said the secret weapon was the cost guide, right?
Yeah,
what the heck is the cost guide?
Yeah, it's really, I'll just give it to you. Here's the answer. It really, before I talk about what the cost guide is, I guess I'll just say, think about the new buying process. Mm-hmm. The new buying process is the customers are in control.
Yeah.
The customer has access to infinite information typing away.
Yeah.
The old process was, I got to go into a Best Buy. I got to talk to a sales guy and he'll tell me about these three TVs and what the different options are and how much they cost. Today, we just go online, we get the information. Mm-hmm. It's the same everywhere. You can get the information somewhere, even if the information is wrong. Right. And so with cost, we started looking at this. We're like, what's the first thing someone wants to know with a remodel? What's it going to cost? Right. Yeah. With any project, painting,
anything.
Landscape, what's it going to cost? What's it going to cost? And they don't need to know it's going to be $47,000, $47,250 and 18 cents. Right. They want to know, am I even in the ballpark of what I want to get done and what I can afford? Like ranges are fine. All we did was we just said, okay, well, let's suck people in through what they're already searching for. How much does a kitchen remodel cost in Atlanta? Great, let's write a blog post on that. Cool, now we're pulling in traffic. Well, somebody that was researching that probably wants more cost information. Let's just create a little cost guide that talks about averages of baths, kitchens, additions, and basements.
Yeah.
Here's why you might be on the low end of this range from 100 to 250K. Here's why you might be in the middle. Here's what, how you might be on the high end. Square footage, are we moving walls? Is it high end finishes? Is it low end? You know, like all the stuff that you know as a company, and that's the stuff that actually goes into cost.
Yeah.
Consumers don't know what you know up in your head. Yeah. So we just said, let's just pull it out, put it into a guide and give them some ranges. Mm-hmm. Because then if I have a company in Atlanta that doesn't want to touch anything under 100, my cost guide is going to talk about projects from 100 to 500.
And so the wrong people are going to opt out, not waste your time. They're going to go waste somebody else's time.
That was kind of the hidden benefit that we didn't see coming, but absolutely. Yeah. People download it and they go, oh, I was hoping to get this done for 20 grand. I'm not even calling this company. Amazing.
That's
actually
a good thing.
Yeah.
So, because here's the thing, man. Like what I love about this is, and I did a video not too long ago. It was one of my rants. Where I was talking about where do your prospects actually get their budgets from? And sadly, they get them from Angie's List and Home Advisor and all these other third-party lead gen sites where some stupid college intern who doesn't know anything about the trade is writing articles and coming up with all these averages, and then it's misleading the client. I mean, like I can hop on right now and type how much does kitchen remodeling cost in Colorado Springs? And well, you live here, so, and you're probably helping somebody here, so this might be skewed a little bit. If I normally, when I do that, no local contractors show up in those organic searches. It's all these other third party sites.
Yeah, still open season. Yeah.
Okay. So, so we're in agreement on that. So what I'm, guys, this is low hanging fruit. I'm looking at the camera right now. This is low hanging fruit for your business is just start answering these questions, what things cost. Those are leads for you. And then what happens from there is, you know, based on who you want to work with. But like that is easily, I'm blown away. Or it'll be like a local business will have an article on it. You go to the article and they don't answer the question.
Yeah.
And they go, contact our sales team because all projects are different. Nothing wants to, I will back button and not call you.
Yep.
Because you just wasted my time because you didn't give what was promised on the ad or the blog title, right?
Yeah.
Blog's still working?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the cost guide, that totally exploded this Atlanta company. All right. Yeah. Any others that have kind of blown your mind?
Yeah, there. I guess let's build on that, because I like, if people are listening to this, I feel like I don't want there to be gaps. Yeah. I want them to be able to take this. So let's go back to the website that we were talking about. And you have, let's just say, instead of a new site, you actually have a site and you're getting pretty good traction on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're getting several thousand visits a month to your website, but you feel like you're not getting enough leads.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's been a few examples that come to mind, but we've done this with several people where they're actually like, wow, you're spending a lot on Google Ads, and oh, your SEO is like, okay, you're ranking for something. So mm-hmm. you do have 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 visits a month, but you go to the site and it's just contact us is the only option.
Right.
And so if we go back to the cost guide, we've come in and literally just looked at a company and gone, we need to get a conversion offer up quick, and something that's at the top of the funnel. Cost guide could be a process checklist. I'm honestly just going to say cost guide. It's the best one. So if you don't have one, just do the cost guide.
Yeah.
But we'll come in and you place that button, download the cost guide. You know, obviously you want to have a compelling color, have a compelling title on that button. But it literally just says, ever wondered what it would cost? Click here to find out. And it takes it to a landing page. Mm-hmm. If you place that button on the 10 most trafficked pages on the website, leads just, I mean, it's a literally an overnight thing, because if you're getting, mm-hmm. let's just say, you know, 500 visits a day, that's easier. Then, and if you're getting one conversion, you're probably now going to get 2, 3, 4, 5 conversions, because only 4% of the people that hit your site are ready to start a project today.
Exactly.
The other 96%, they're browsing and they're future buyers. And so they want that cost guide. They want a little more information while they're on the site. They want to make progress in their research.
Yep.
But now you've converted the lead. So there's several clients where we've just come in and we're like, great, you have lots of traffic, because building traffic is hard. Converting is a lot easier.
Well, that data you just gave, the 4%.
Yeah.
Do you know who Callan Rush is? You ever heard her name? Mm-mm. So I went to this internet marketing conference like in 2012 or 13 in Chicago. And she got up. She was the first person I heard talk about that, that you have 100 of your ideal clients right now. And she was 3%. Three are actively looking. So 3 or 4, whatever.
Yeah, right in that range.
And the bottom 30%, 30 out of the 100, will never hire you no matter what, for whatever reason. So when you take out the 3 and the 30, there's 67% of those people, roughly, give or take a percent, that are just in a different place. Yes. So like for us right now, we have a home in a subdivision here in Colorado Springs. We are looking for land. We are looking to build. We're, you know, we're open to a lot of different things right now, because we don't want to be there forever. We stayed here longer than we wanted to because we had kids to get through high school and whatever, right? So, and it was just more convenient. So if I land on somebody's, a home builder's website right now, and I don't fill something out or buy right now, doesn't mean I'm not a good lead.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's what I think a lot of people don't understand, is that people buy when they're ready, not when we're ready.